broadcasting on the web and locally on 90.1 Hope FM. This is your Election 50.
It's 8 o'clock. I'm Jeff Buckeridge with a roundup of the headlines on an extraordinary night. It was an incredibly strong night for the Conservatives, who are closing in on a majority government. Some polls predict they will reach 329 seats. Seats were lost overnight from key political figures in a bad night for the Lib Dems. Former Lib Dem leader Charles Kennedy, former Education Secretary Ed Davey and Vince Cable all lost their seats, and they were followed out of Westminster by Danny Alexander and David Laws. Douglas Alexander lost his seat to 20-year-old student Myrie Black. And shocks continued. Labour lost important seats to the SNP, including their safest seat in Glasgow North East, and Scottish Labour leader Jim Murphy lost his seat. The SNP have outperformed all expectations to win 56 seats. Green leader Natalie Bennett failed to win her seat, but Caroline Lucas held on in Brighton Pavilion. David Cameron held his Witney seat, Ed Miliband held Doncaster North, and Nick Clegg held on to Sheffield Hallam. Nigel Farage is still waiting on his result in South Thanet, with announcement expected at around 10:30 or 11 a.m. And other dramas on the night include George Galloway being reported for breaking election rules and a police car exploding outside a Leicestershire polling station, and five arrests were made. But now the picture here in Dorset, Christopher Chope has held on to Christchurch, Oliver Letwin at Dorset South, Richard Drax has got Dorset West, Connor Burns extended his majority in Bournemouth West, whilst Tobias Elwood in Bournemouth East. And the key marginal mid-Dorset North poll has gone in favour of the Conservatives, whilst the Tories won 64% of the vote in North Dorset, which means Dorset has turned blue. That's all the updates on an incredible election night.
Streaming live on yourelection.co.uk and in partnership with Hope FM, you're listening to Your Election 50.
Thanks very much to Jeff Buckeridge there. That was your 8 o'clock news update. Still reading with such enthusiasm. Credit to the news team. They've done a sterling job. It's just gone 2 minutes past 8. You're listening to Your Election 15, streaming live on the internet to the world. We've been going since 10 o'clock yesterday evening with all your general election updates and coverage. Joining me now in the studio, I have Danielle Cardy. You've played a very pivotal and important role this evening, Danielle.
Yeah, now I'm really tired.
How has it been?
It's been really, really good. I'm glad I got involved. I'm just feeling the effects of it now. I'm starting to get really tired.
It's quite a monumental achievement. It's hard to realise that everyone here involved is a student in some way, form or another, and we've all clubbed together, and it's quite a significant achievement. What's your role been this evening?
I've been deputy editor for Laura.
I had to think about that for a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Stepping
and then
toes.
News editor as well. So I've just been managing like a whole team, getting the news stories in, writing the bulletins every half an hour.
Yeah, so the bulletins have been coming in every half an hour. How hard has that been to meet those deadlines and find news? And or has it been relatively easy, what with it being election night and lots happening?
I thought it was going to be okay, because I thought you could repeat like a few of the stories, but it's been like practically different news every single half an hour. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for that.
I'm so tired.
One more bulletin to go at 8:30?
No, I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Done. You're going home. Danielle's going.
Getting the shake of the head. In that case, well done. Go and get some rest. Well deserved. And thanks ever so much for your contribution this evening.
Oh, thank you.
And morning. It feels like evening still, doesn't it?
It's so weird.
Hannah's back, by the way.
I am back. Hello, guys.
Hello.
We reached a point where Hannah fell asleep behind the mic.
I hit the 24-hour mark and I just had to go.
I was out.
But I'm back. Back in business.
Joining us now is the big dog himself. It's Joe Naresian. You are the guy in charge and responsible for this evening, really.
I don't know who Joe Naresian is. I know who Joe Naresian is.
Well, it's necessary
I'll let you correct me,
isn't it?
You've been up all night.
I do apologise. Joe, what a fantastic achievement it is for your election 15. A thing that was described earlier as being something similar to a Twix.
Yeah.
It was an analogy that was lost on many of us.
Joe doesn't look very impressed with that analogy.
I wasn't in that meeting.
I believe it went something like this. The chocolate on top is the bit that makes us different. All of us here at Eurelection 15 clubbing together, we're a bunch of students offering the best coverage down here at Bournemouth South Coast, focusing not only on our local eight constituencies, but also bringing you all the live updates from across the UK. The bubbly biscuit base at the bottom, that was the staple bit of, we're going to be offering you coverage from all across the UK. We're going to be giving you political analysis and experts to give you some grounding. And that's what the biscuit is in a Twix, really, isn't it? It's the grounding that brings you back down to earth. The caramel was the slight difference that we were offering. The fact that we were sending out reporters live to our eight constituencies across Dorset. We heard most recently from Jason, he was at his constituency till 7:30 in the morning, awaiting the results of key marginal seats such as Mid Dorset and North Pool. There you go, there you have it. That is a very tired analogy of how Eurelection 15 is said to be like a Twix.
That actually sums up your radio, I think, for the night, Dom.
It feels like it does.
I don't think it was Eurelection 15, I think it was Dom Belcher 15. But no, it's been really interesting. It's been really exciting. Everyone's very tired, but it's a good tired, and we've all had a very good experience about a relevant experience and how we're going to work in our future industry. Hopefully, everyone's played a really important role. I've been a bit redundant tonight. I've kind of told people to do things.
I think you deserve that, Joe. I think
I've told people
all your efforts leading up to tonight allows you to maybe be a bit more relaxed us do the work.
How many weeks have you been preparing for this? The scale of the operation.
Well, I'm 23 and there's 52 weeks in a year, so you do the math. but it's been brilliant. I've got Jack here, obviously, my deputy, who's been with me every step of the way. Not just like some presenters that just kind of turn up on the night and just wing it, but that's all right. Each their own. I can read a script, you can read a script.
I haven't had a script for the past 2 hours, Joe. It's great to have you both here. I've seen you do a lot of running around today. What's your main role been?
Well, I feel like I've found the racing line around most of the media school's halls tonight, but I've basically been panel producer, so every guest that you've heard tonight has in some way or another, can we say tonight? I don't know. This morning?
Just tonight. It feels like tonight.
But all of them have at some point come into contact with me, and I've had two very impressive panel producers to help me in that role, and they've just got everyone on time, to where we need to be. All the interviewees you've spoken to, Dom,
Definitely.
Been brought to you, hopefully, in pristine condition. I don't know.
It's been a fantastic amount of workload from people behind the scene. Joe, I'd imagine there's people that you'd like to thank for their involvement and people that you sort of... We couldn't have done tonight without.
Joe just wants to go home.
No, not really.
Just let Joe go home, rest.
I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I'd happily stay until... half eight. I would like to thank everybody. That's nice and easy. And I need to rush off and do a little TV cameo now as well.
Will you go and do your TV cameo?
Yeah.
Thanks so
later.
So much.
Thank you very much, Dom and Hannah. just remembered your name, Hannah. And the radio team, you've been very, very impressive. And I haven't even worried about you at all. I've actually enjoyed coming down here, and it's been like a little getaway. I don't need to come down here. I've had to come down here to kind of chill myself out, and it's really good. And top stuff. And you played Dylan, so that's enough for me.
I must say, on behalf of everyone here from the radio team as well, we couldn't have done it without Joe. He's kind of the brains, perhaps not the beauty, behind Eurelection 15. And he just gave me a nice little pinch on the neck. Thanks, Joe. Enjoy your TV interview. But it's been some great work. And a couple of other people as well. Laura McKenna is a name that we should definitely thank as our editor here for the radio team. She's been great. She pulled us all in, told us this was going to be fun and a great idea. And at 10 o'clock last night, I thought it was a great idea. Now I'm not so sure. Big thanks as well. There's some people in the studio. We've been staring at them through the glass window for the last few hours. Katie, Brendan, the people on the desk right now, you guys have been absolutely phenomenal. I can't say phenomenal. There we go. Brendan's got, he's been running the script all night. It's been a tiresome job for you. He can also send us little messages on the screen.
Which
he just sent me a little love heart. We love you too. Katie's been on talkback in our ears, so whilst we've been trying to present and speak to our guests and tell you what's coming up, she's been telling us what to move on to next.
And when...
See, she just did it then. She was saying that flattery will get you everywhere. So, but Katie, we couldn't have done it without you. It's been a great achievement from everyone here on the radio team. It's been an honour and a pleasure. We've brought Charlie back into the studio now, our social media reporter. Charlie, you're looking jaded.
Yeah, a little bit tired, but it's cool. Like, we're nearly at the end.
Yeah, I see that glint of hope in your eyes.
Yeah, not far off. So, yeah, obviously, I've been coming at you with the social media stuff.
Has social media come back to life? Is it?
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, people
there's
are waking
things.
Up.
I kind of wanted to actually talk about... like, there's a thing, which party actually won the social media war, and this was done just as the polling stations were closed, and it came out that the party leader with the most followers on Twitter was David Cameron, and the most popular party leader on Facebook was David Cameron, and it seems that David Cameron might actually win the election, so...
Watch the space.
Yeah, the social media actually could have been right for once, which is good because the Conservatives spent a lot of money on social media and they really plugged it. They had like
it's
the most
off.
Yeah, they had the most likes on Facebook and the most followers on Twitter. So maybe, like, obviously we'll have to wait until the analysis.
Yes.
Yep, and all the surveys and everything like that come out after today to see if actually social media did win it for them or whether it was just, you know, a combination of things.
So we have been live since 10 o'clock last night, bringing you all the live updates from the general election coverage, focusing mainly on Dorset and our eight constituencies here. We can confirm that it is a completely blue Dorset, with the Conservatives taking all of the seats. Nationally, much appears to be the same picture. Currently on my screen, I'm reading that 299 seats are held by Conservative. They're not too far, about 26 away from holding a potential majority. Labour are clocking in with 221, Lib Dems with 8, UKIP with just the 1, SNP with 56 and 23 going to other, made up of Plaid Cymru, the Green Party, DUP and others, I'm sure. Interesting to note, and a talking point I'm sure in the coming weeks, is how the voting system actually operates. SNP are registered around 1,500,000 votes, 1.5 million. In comparison to UKIP, who have registered about 3.5 million votes. Now, the reason why this poses such a question is UKIP currently hold just the one seat, possibly two by the end of the morning. 3.5 million votes equating to two seats, whereas 1.5 million votes for SNP has equated to 56 seats. If the voting system was to be changed, this could actually see a greater prominence for UKIP in the government that's taking shape right now. So it's not a surprise that it's going to be in contention.
Do you think that it will be, you know, discussed and potentially...
I think so. It's interesting. Obviously, a referendum on the voting system was proposed by the Liberal Democrats out of the back of the last election, and it was declined. I'm hoping that there will be a surge, a new dynamic to voting, especially as I feel online voting is something that needs to become a more realistic ambition. Obviously, there are many different things, such as fraud factors, that need to be negotiated. But to encourage young voters especially, but I just think in a 21st century where we have, you know, a very tech-savvy society, it would be great to see online voting, a more convenient way of voting, take place, as well as perhaps changing the voting system itself so that we can see some of the minor players, such as UKIP, such as the Green Party, actually use the volume of votes to have an impact in Westminster, as opposed to the first past the poll system that we have currently in place, where actually we're seeing less people voting for SNP, reflecting in more impact for them in Westminster in comparison to UKIP.
Yeah, I think online voting is definitely the way to go. I mean, just imagine how many more people would do it. Not just young people, because I know we know young people are a bit you know, they can be a bit lazy or whatever, but everyone can. And if it's possible to do it at home, to do it online, so why not do it like that?
Yeah, I heard they were trying to develop some sort of app, but they're having problems with security, and obviously people could act, you know, if it glitched, they could vote twice and things like that. But yeah, but hopefully they've got time.
Clever enough people out there.
They've got time now to, you know, fix out those.
Yeah, they can do online banking. I'm sure they can do online banking.
Sure, I mean,
true.
You take into consideration evening then and the morning that we've been through as well. How much easier would it be to collate online results as opposed to counting the paper polls?
Exactly, waiting. True. And they just kept getting pushed further and further back.
It's but like, surely would we also lose a bit of the excitement and a bit of the drama of the evening?
That's true. Potentially we could, but I'm sure they could, you know, do it in a cool... They could still release the results at a certain time all separately rather than what they tried to do this time, but it didn't quite work because things had to get recounted. Because did you see... I don't know if you're watching the TV, but there was images of some constituencies where they had to frantically recount the votes because they weren't sure if they counted it right. And they were just there, like, going crazy. And it looked quite funny. If you put some funny music to it, it would look really funny.
It certainly would. We now have another guest joining us for our last few minutes here. Barry Richards, good morning to you. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, I haven't been up all night, unlike many of you, or all of you, I should think. So I'm a bit fresh and you're very tired.
What do you make of last night and this morning?
It's very surprising. I was as surprised as everybody else was, I think, at the way it went. All kinds of things you could pull out of it. Just to look at the losers. Who are the losers? No doubt you've had people here all night talking about, you know, winners and losers. In a way, the most obvious loser is the polls. I mean, it'll take a while, I think, for people to analyse the results in detail as far as the party's performance is concerned. But one thing you can say very quickly and very clearly is, well, the polls actually got it completely wrong. And the polling industry is going to have to think quite hard and come up with some good, you know, answers as to why they were so comprehensively wrong. The exit poll did better. Now, why did the exit poll do so much better? Larger sample? 22,000? 22,000 rather than, about 1,000? that may be it. Was it because people were changing their minds at the last minute? And so only the exit poll can actually capture, you know, the what they finally did. Or maybe there's something about the way they did it. You know, they replicate the actual voting procedure. So it's harder for people to give the wrong answer, maybe, you know, to say they're going to vote this way when actually they don't. Harder, you know, for them to give the wrong answer, basically. So maybe the exit poll did so much better for all those reasons. But whatever, your standard, you know, 1,000 or so sample national poll clearly needs explaining why they just got it so wrong.
We're actually hearing right now that we're finding out whether Ed Balls has actually lost his seat. Some Labour sources confirm that he may have.
He has.
And he has. That's just come through now on our feed. Ed Balls loses his seat. We can bring that to you right now. What do you make, Barry, of Labour's performance? And again, Ed Balls losing his seat is kind of explanatory of the evening and the morning that Labour have had.
It is, and I don't, you know, I don't think quick judgments ought to be made really on the overall performance of a party. There's all kinds of reasons for it. Personally, I think Ed Miliband's leadership of the campaign was not exactly, not stunning. Was probably not very effective. But one very telling comment I heard earlier this morning on the Today programme by the Labour MP Graham Stringer, who is MP from Manchester constituency, I forget which. I think he held on to a very substantial majority. So what he was saying wasn't kind of sour grapes or wasn't an explanation for why he didn't do so well. But what he was saying was that, and this would apply to Labour and possibly to the Conservatives as well, that the doorstep issue was immigration. And Labour had failed in its campaign to address the concerns of what Stringer was calling its core support on the immigration issue. And this is obviously the space that UKIP has come into to occupy in the political landscape. But it may well be that where Labour has lost out to UKIP, and maybe where Labour has also lost out to the Tories, it's because of their failure to address that core concern of large sections of the electorate. which, and that leads to, I think it's connected with another point. You could say the big winner from the results as we can see them so far, well, as we now have them in front of us, is nationalism. Mm. And but in two counts, obviously the Scottish, you know, the SNP is the biggest winner electorally, but and UKIP hasn't done as well as its supporters hoped it would. Farage didn't get a seat. I haven't caught up with.
We're waiting for that to be confirmed. We're still waiting on a recount's happening, so we're probably expecting that at about half 10, 11.
Okay. Anyway, it looks like they'll end up probably with just the one seat, but they have got 12% of the vote, over 3 million people, and that's, you know, it's a significant number. Obviously, it feeds into the debates about the first past the post system.
Yes.
Which is another constitutional issue that's alongside the union. That the election raises, but you could say that UKIP represents another kind of nationalism, whether you'd call it British nationalism or whether it's a particular form of English nationalism flying under the flag of the United Kingdom, I'm not sure. But you could say that both in terms of the SNP landslide in Scotland and UKIP's strong overall share of the vote, that nationalism, in one form or another, is the is one of the big winners out of the election. And I think that is something that that Labour and Conservatives will need to think about.
Do you think it's like that because the media has sort of focused on it so much? Or do you think it was an underlying thought anyway?
I think it's an underlying concern. It's, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure you can separate out what people spontaneously think or feel and what is given prominence in the media. You know, the media both reflect and create what's in people's minds. So it's very hard analytically to separate the two out. Obviously, the media played a role, but I think it is an underlying concern. I think that questions about national identity, about cultural change, are widely held concerns, and real concerns, actually, and concerns which the two major parties have not thoroughly addressed, going back over a long time, not just in this campaign, but in the development of their policies and their rhetoric over a long period of time.
Will there be a sense of disappointment among UKIP this morning, and perhaps a slight disjustice? Holding such a high percentage of the vote, with 3.5 million, they'll see the SNP only receive 1.5 million votes, and yet this is reflected in 56 seats.
That's right.
Could this not provoke them to suggest a new voting system put in place? And also, how much of a voice are they still going to have?
I'm sure it will. I'm sure they will be leading the calls for constitutional change, which have been around for a long time. Of course, the old Liberal Party, now Lib Dems, suffered from that same phenomenon, but possibly less strikingly in numbers terms than UKIP are doing now. And also now I think UKIP arriving as a new kid on the block with a new rhetoric and addressing a concern that hasn't previously been addressed by any major party, this is going to give an added urgency and added push to those calls for some constitutional revision and proportional representation or some system that reflects the share of the vote must rise up the agenda, one would think, and one would hope, actually. I personally would hope that will happen.
We're expecting to see a shake-up amongst the party leaders come perhaps even the end of the morning. The future of Nick Clegg appears almost certain. Mm. What would you say the futures of the likes of Ed Miliband and Nigel Farage are? There's rumours flying around that the two of them will resign within the next couple of days.
Mm. Well, Farage, I think we know, will do if he doesn't get elected, and if he does, he won't. That seems fairly clear. Miliband, I would expect to depart, but how quickly that will happen, I don't know. But I think there must be questions being asked within Labour about the campaign and his leadership.
Barry, thanks ever so much. Wonderful to speak to you this morning. Thank you.
Okay, cheers.
We are now joined by one of our roaming reporters. Back from Pool Lighthouse, it's Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Dom. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I didn't need that run across campus.
You look knackered.
It's been a long night.
It must have been. You've had probably one of the toughest slogs out of everyone over the course of the evening and this morning. Describe it for us, please. Enlighten me as to how your evening went.
I can honestly say it's been an absolute pleasure. I feel sad for it to end, really.
You're the most humble man I've ever met.
Thank you. No, it's been quite experienced for me, really, as a first-time voter and first-year student. It's a real honour, and it's just to see this happening. It's been a momentous day, really. It's quite something to have, and that big majority we had in Mid-Dorset Northpool, to be there, massive atmosphere for that result. And there was clear emotion from both Vicky Slade, who's probably feels a bit down right now, quite understandably, because she's lost the seat that's been Lib Dem since 2001.
Sense of disappointment, certainly, for the Lib Dems all over this evening.
Yes, definitely, and that's what's echoed for us. I've been checking Twitter and listening to the coverage tonight, and then on the flip side, you've got the Conservatives, who, Michael Thomason, he's had a great night. He's absolutely delighted, and I think he's going to enjoy his breakfast this morning.
I bet. So, was it quite exciting there then?
Yeah, for long parts of the night, it's very frustrating because we're getting told different times. I've got told of originally 3 o'clock we were scheduled on to be on air. Then we had 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, and then 7 o'clock, 7:30, done. It was like buses, really. We sat there all day and then eventually it came together.
Always the way, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been an absolutely phenomenal day. Just checking some of the stats going up on the screen now. Labour, 47 seats they have lost. The most recent of those to be confirmed, I'll bring you up to speed, Jason, was Ed Balls. He has lost his seat for Labour. A very disappointing day for them. But you must have got a different side to the party tonight. You must have had a lot of optimism being down there where the Conservatives are now reigning over Dorset. It must have been...
Yeah, it was a flip side of the pitch. It was all positive.
Exactly.
Everything went as it meant. It was just really a case in the, if to call it a football term, of how many, not what the result was going to be. So quite a night, and it's going to be a long one, and I think we'll remember it for a long, long time.
Certainly will. In terms of sort of real standout performances for you nationally now, if you've had time to cast your eye over the national shape of things, who do you think is the real winners and losers?
I think the real losers, it's a toss-up between the Lib Dems and Labour, really. I think they're both going to have to go back and look at where this all went wrong for them. And the obviously, it's the Conservatives are the winners. You might not agree, but I don't really agree with the campaign they've run. It's been quite negative and working on quite a lot of fear, as the Green Party have highlighted in Brighton. But for me, the Conservatives are clear winner here, and it's just a case of if they get over that majority, which it looks like they will.
How many cups of coffee did it take to keep you going?
Personally, not a coffee drinker, as I said throughout the night, but surprisingly, I've still got 2 of my 4 Red Bulls left. Yeah. I think the pasta really helped. The carbs were definitely... My brother's sports science definitely helped me in my pre-show rehearsals.
You still look pretty fresh, actually.
Yeah, I feel like I could go to the gym or something, or run, maybe.
All right, prove it. Right. You trooper, absolute trooper.
Pasta is probably something I should have brought with me in preparation for the evening.
Yeah, sweets didn't quite cut it.
I'm sure for the 2016 referendum on the EU, we're all going to be part of doing the coverage. We'll be back and I'll bring some pasta ready to make sure I make it through that night. Jason, I just want to say thank you. Absolutely fantastic work you've done.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. From what I've heard, it's been a great show and probably a long one, but I think a very
Certainly
enjoyable
has.
One.
But it's been wonderful throwing backwards and forwards to you and all the other reporters on location. You've done an absolutely sterling job. You should be proud of yourselves. Thanks ever so much, Jason.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Well, despite opinion polls in the last few months suggesting otherwise, it looks like the Conservative Party are on course to form a majority government.
And with the time approaching 8:30, this is where the radio coverage of Your Election 15 ends. All remaining results will be broadcast as and when they appear via Your Election 15's online and social media services.
But from all the radio team here at Talbot Campus, we thank you for joining us for our coverage of the 2015 general election.
There is no doubt that we won't forget this experience ever.
You can say that again. Once again, thanks to everyone on the team for their hard work. And as Joe mentioned earlier, maybe we'll see you again next year for your referendum 16. Who knows? But from me, Hannah Trinder.
And from me, Don Belcher. Take care and bye-bye.
coming to you live from Bournemouth University and from across Dorset in partnership with 90.1 Hope FM. This is your Election 15.